Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
The Honorable William J. Clinton. Among the finest public servants of our time, President William J. Clinton argued cases for the people of Arkansas, served his state in the governor's mansion, and guided our nation into a new century.
The smooth fox terrier was developed in Great Britain to bolt the fox from his den. Excelling both as hunters of small game and as family pets, fox terriers are at home both in country and city. The Smooth features an easy care, weather-resistant coat, a classic outline, and a lively disposition.
This is the Savage Nation. I was watching our president, how he'd gone from President Truman, who initiated the Medal of Freedom Award, to a President Untrue Man in my time, and to see who got the Presidential Medal of Freedom, including only the second presidents ever impeached, is amazing. And then, of course, the Medal of Freedom to Gloria Steinem, who described killing her own unborn child as constructive. And Obama, of course, being the left-wing fanatic that he is, out to fundamentally transform America, has to do what he can. A man has to do what he can. And as you well know, the way revolutions occur is they pull down all the cultural icons and symbols of a nation and replace them. And so in this case, the Presidential Medal of Freedom was, let us say, not 100% comprised of left-wing radical social engineers, but about 80%. Bill Clinton, a recipient, Gloria Steinem, Oprah Winfrey, who just the other day said that only when enough people die in the South will there be no racism. It's pretty sad, isn't it? Chemist and environmental activist, scientist Mario Molina, who no one ever heard of, but apparently he's built his career on the fraudulent theory of global warming. Half these people, or let's say a third of them, were up there because of their sexual orientation. And the heroes who deserve the real Presidential Medal of Freedom are who? I have some names. Who do you think really deserves the Presidential Medal of Freedom? I, for example, recommend the Navy SEALs executed or killed in action in that helicopter incident that's been swept under the rug by President Obama and his minions. The award was established by President Harry Truman in 1945 to honor civilian service during World War II. But what you may not know is this medal can go to military members as well. If we had a legitimate president who was a true leader, who had a damn care in his mind other than pushing forward his radical Leninist agenda, he would have had empty chairs on the stage, and in those chairs would be pictures of the deceased heroes who were killed in that helicopter crash when they were shot down. You probably have forgotten it. August 11, 2011, service members killed in Chinook 47 crash. These men were killed. They were executed. They were sent up in an old, slow-flying Chinook helicopter, and answers have never been given. We've had the parents of one of these SEALs on this show many times, several times, but there are many names that need to be read, and they will be read on my show tonight. And if you're a member of the military or a military mother, military child, military wife, will you please text everyone that you know and tell them at approximately 34 minutes after the hour, in this hour, we will be playing Taps, and I will read the names of all of the 30 service members who were executed or killed in action that night. Every one of their names will be read on this show. From 34 on, you can tell your friends. 855-400-7282. Who do you think should have gotten the award? Or let's put it this way. Who was the most offensive recipient today? Was it Gloria Steinem, Bill Clinton, Oprah Winfrey, Chicago Cubs shortstop Ernie Banks? How could he get a Presidential Medal of Freedom? You mean you get a Freedom Award for being a shortstop? I don't quite understand this. Cognitive psychologist Daniel Kahneman? late civil rights activist and gay activist Bayard Rustin, jazz musician Arturo Sandoval, basketball coach Dean Smith. These people are worthy of a Presidential Medal of Freedom at a time when we're fighting for our very survival against 15th century throwback ragheads who will drag us into head cutting and killing women and children. Do you understand where we are now in this progressive path that began in earnest in 2008 with the exponentially growing entitlement spending and debt under this psychopath? A currency that is being destroyed as the world's reserve currency? A military being hollowed out until it can no longer function as the stabilizing force in the world, all under this man who disgraces the flag and the memory of this nation on a daily basis? Glorious Steinem indeed. Bill Clinton indeed. Now, we worked very hard today in the Savage Nation to make our point in a non-vitriolic manner. Occasionally, vitriol will prevail. So let's play Gloria Steinem in the award-winning ceremony. Let's hear that one in clip four.
Speaking of game changers, disruptors, there's a young girl named Gloria Steinem who arrived in New York to make her mark as a journalist. And magazines only wanted her to write articles like, "How to Cook Without Really Cooking for Men." Gloria noticed things like that.
You so cool. You so cool.
She's been called a champion noticer. She's alert to all the ways, large and small, that women had been, and in some cases continue to be, treated
she's
unfairly.
She's a dirty, low-down slut. She's a filthy slut.
As a writer, a speaker,
a filthy, twisted sister of the lowest
order. She awakened a vast and often skeptical public.
She destroyed womanhood in America.
Lack of affordable
childcare. She single-handedly destroyed families. She's left nothing but wreckage in her path.
Around the world, more women are afforded the respect and opportunities that they deserve.
Rubbish.
She also changed how women thought about themselves.
She has destroyed women.
And Gloria continues to pour her heart into teaching and mentoring. Her one piece of advice.
I really wanted the clip with the dog, so let's go to clip four. Clip four.
Gloria Steinem. A trailblazing writer and feminist organizer, Gloria Steinem has been at the forefront of the fight for equality and social justice for more than four decades.
The Charpei probably dates to the Han Dynasty, about 200 BC. The name literally is translated as sand skin or sandpaper-like coat.
Let's have the next of Oprah Winfrey and the winning bulldog one.
Oprah
five.
G. Winfrey. Oprah G. Winfrey is a global media icon. When she launched The Oprah Winfrey Show in 1986, there were few women, and even fewer women of color, with a national platform to discuss the issues and events shaping our times.
Bulldog got its name from the ancient and brutal spectacle of bull baiting. The bulldog's traits of courage and tenacity have made him a symbol of determination.
You get the picture. It sounded like the dog show to me today. But you have to understand, when there's a revolution, they pulled... You remember pictures, for example? Let's reverse it for the popular audience out here. When the Soviets took over Russia and it became a communist state, what did they do? Well, they pulled down all the icons of the Russian nation. They also burned churches to the ground. They sacked churches and they killed priests. That's an example of how communists work. We're not there yet, because if you got to make, if you want to make an omelet, you got to break a few eggs, and you got to start small. You know, even a dwarf starts small, so you got to start very small. You do it in a small way, slow. It's the way that you do it if you're a Fabian socialist. And what you do is you do a slow version of tearing down the edifices of freedom and the edifices of dignity in this country. And you never mention a real hero who deserves the Presidential Medal of Freedom. You don't put empty chairs up there with the Navy SEALs and the others who were killed because of incompetence in the Department of Defense, or worse yet, executed. We don't know. Gloria Steinem has a disdain for heterosexual relationships that is worth noting. She said that a woman without a man is like a fish without a bicycle. On marriage and childbearing, this crazy woman said, you become a semi-nun person when you get married. She says she loves abortion. She says, I knew it was the first time I had taken responsibility for my own life. She advocates confusing gender boundaries for children. She said, we've begun to raise daughters like sons, but few have the courage to raise our sons more like daughters. And she glorifies sexual promiscuity, Mr. President, when she said a liberated woman is one who has sex before marriage and a job after. There are others out there who didn't deserve the award. How do you feel about this today? It got me so anguished that we spent all day taking Obama's nauseating commentary on Oprah Winfrey, who just the other day said that many have to die for racism to end, without mentioning the epidemic that is growing of black thugs targeting people around America in knockout games across the country. Oh, yeah. Oh, didn't make it to your local paper? Youths, black youths targeting people of other races, Jews in New York, whites elsewhere, and Asians elsewhere, and the establishment media, the government media, that is, suppressing news of the black thug knockout game. Haven't heard about that? There was hardly a straight white male on the stage. I couldn't see one. There maybe may have been one. I don't know. Perhaps. Maybe one of them was a heterosexual white Christian male. There certainly were no war heroes. And by the way, the Presidential Medal of Freedom, if you think I don't know my history, can be granted to military men as well. Of course, the decoration was, as I say, the award was created by Truman. Truman, we've gone from Truman to false man in my generations. Kennedy established the current decoration in 1963 through an executive order, and he vastly expanded the purpose. By the way, recipients are selected only by the president. The medal may be awarded to an individual more than once. Colin Powell received it twice. Ellsworth Bunker received both of his awards with distinction. Cesar Chavez was given one of these awards. Who else? Thurgood Marshall. Lyndon Johnson was given an award. That's largely ceremonial. I understand that. But ceremonies have power. If you go back to 2002 and you look at the presidential awards then, they weren't really much better. Hank Aaron, baseball. Bill Cosby, TV performer. Placido Domingo, singer. Peter Drucker, never heard of him. Catherine Graham. I see every few years the Washington Post gets one for putting out left-wing swill. Dr. Henderson of the WHO. Nelson Mandela. Gordon Moore. Who else? Nancy Reagan. Oh, she got one back in the day. Fred Rogers of Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, which has feminized more boys than any single element in American history. Remember Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood? It turned our boys into sissies and crybabies. He got one. A.M. Rosenthal, the left-wing fanatic from the New York Times. Actually, he was a little conservative. He was an operative, but a sort of conservative. In 05, the Presidential Medal of Freedom went to Muhammad Ali. Because his name is Muhammad Ali, he was given a Medal of Freedom. Because he had a deep commitment to equal justice and peace, whatever that means. What did he have to do with justice and peace? Vinton Cerf and Robert Conquest, Aretha Franklin, Alan Greenspan, Andy Griffith, an entertainer. Paul Harvey got one way back. General Richard B. Myers, U.S. Air Force, retired. He deserved it. He served 600 combat hours in the Vietnam War. Commander-in-Chief of North American Aerospace Defense Command. He got the correct one. Then, again, Bush gave one to Jack Nicklaus, a golfer. Frank Robinson, a baseball player. So it's a mix. It's a mix of justifiable awards. But don't you think an award of this magnitude should be given to some of our greatest military heroes as well? Who do you think deserves such an award? 855-407-282. Remember, please tell your friends, text them, email them, that at 34 minutes after the hour, we're going to read the names of all of the SEALs and the other military men who were executed or accidentally killed in action on that horrible day when they were all placed aboard an old slow-flying helicopter and sent to their deaths in Afghanistan. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Honorable William J. Clinton. Among the finest public servants of our time, President William J. Clinton argued cases for the people of Arkansas, served his state in the governor's mansion, and guided our nation into a new century.
The smooth fox terrier was developed in Great Britain to bolt the fox from his den. Excelling both as hunters of small game and as family pets, fox terriers are at home both in country and city. The smooth features an easy care, weather-resistant coat, a classic outline, and a lively disposition.
So, really, the Presidential Medal of Freedom is sort of like the Kennel Awards, whatever that's called. I don't know, it's sort of the Westminster Kennel Award. To give an award like this to an unknown chemist named Mario Molina, who's done nothing but promote, let us say, junk science, is another embarrassment that we had to listen to today in Clip 9. Listen to Clip 9. This is astounding. You got to hear this.
Dr. Mario Molina's love of science started as a young boy in Mexico City, in a homemade laboratory in a bathroom at home. And that passion for discovery led Mario to become one of the most respected chemists of his era. He was awarded the Nobel Peace Prize, or the Nobel Prize, rather, not only for his path-breaking research, but also for his insistence that when we ignore dangerous carbon emissions, we risk destroying the ozone layer and endangering our planet.
Rubbish.
And thanks to Mario's work, the world came together to address a common threat. And today, inspired by his example, we're working to leave our planet safer and cleaner for future generations.
Oh, rubbish. The man who invented the new vacuum cleaner would have been a better recipient than this character. What do you mean, path-breaking research, carbon emissions, ozone layer, endangering our planet, world came together. Yeah. Then you got Bayard Rustin, whose only claim to fame is that he's openly what? Oh, a radical, openly gay civil rights activist. Well, I guess that's better than a war hero who died in a helicopter crash to Obama, who are unnamed. You don't know their names, do you? Well, get ready, because when I come back, everyone who was killed in that crash, their names will not be forgotten on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
On behalf of Michelle and myself, welcome to the White House. This is one of my favorite events every year, especially special this year, as I look at this extraordinary group of individuals and our opportunity to honor them with our nation's highest civilian honor, the Presidential
from you?
Medal of Freedom. And this year, it's just a little more special. Because this marks the 50th anniversary of President Kennedy establishing award. Yeah. We're honored, by the way, today to have one of my favorite people, Ethel Kennedy, and a pretty good basketball player, President Kennedy's grandson, Jack. Now, this medal has been bestowed on more than 500 deserving people. Tonight, I'm looking forward to joining some of these honorees, as well as members of the Kennedy family, as we pay tribute to these 50 years of excellence. And this morning, we're honored to add 16 new names to this distinguished list.
All right, wonderful. We got the picture. Now, the heroes who deserve the Presidential Medal of Freedom were not on Mr. Obama's list. If I was advising a president, I would have had 16 empty chairs. And in those 16 empty chairs, there would have been pictures of two or more American heroes who died for our freedoms. On August 11, 2011, some of our bravest men were put into an old, slow-flying helicopter and sent to their death. To this day, there has been no recognition, no investigation, but their names will be remembered now on the Savage Nation. The following sailors were assigned to an East Coast base naval special warfare unit. They were killed. Lieutenant Commander SEAL Jonas B. Kelsall, 32, of Shreveport, Louisiana. Special Warfare Operator Master Chief Petty Officer SEAL Louis J. Langley, 44, of Santa Barbara, California. Special Warfare Operator Senior Chief Petty Officer SEAL Thomas A. Ratzlaff, 34 of Green Forest, Arkansas. Explosives, ordnance, disposal technician, senior chief petty officer, Craig M. Vickers, 36 of Kokomo, Hawaii. Special warfare operator, chief petty officer, SEAL, Brian R. Bill, 31 of Stamford, Connecticut. Special warfare operator, chief petty officer, SEAL, John W. Fast, 31 of Minneapolis, Minnesota. Special warfare operator, chief petty officer, SEAL, Kevin A. Houston, 35 of West Hyannisport, Massachusetts. Special warfare operator, chief petty officer, SEAL, Matthew D. Mason, 37 of Kansas City, Missouri. Special warfare operator, chief petty officer, SEAL, Stephen M. Mills, 35, Fort Worth, Texas. Explosives, ordnance, disposal technician, chief petty officer, Nicholas H. Null, 30 of Washington, West Virginia. Special warfare operator, chief petty officer, SEAL, Robert J. Reeves, 32 of Shreveport, Louisiana. Special warfare operator, chief petty officer, SEAL, Heath M. Robinson, 34 of Detroit, Michigan. Special warfare operator, petty officer, first class, Navy SEAL, Derek C. Benson, 28 of Angwin, California. Special warfare operator, petty officer, first class, SEAL, parachutist, Christopher G. Campbell, 36 of Jacksonville, North Carolina. Information systems technician, petty officer, first class, free fall parachutist, Jared W. Day, 28 of Taylorsville, Utah. Master at arms, petty officer, first class, expeditionary warfare specialist, John Duong Dara, 26 of Sioux City, Nebraska. Cryptologist technician, petty officer, first class, expeditionary warfare specialist, Michael J. Strange, 25 of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. His parents have been on the show several times. Special warfare operator, petty officer, first class, SEAL, enlisted surface warfare specialist, John T. Tummelson, 35 of Rockford, Iowa. Special warfare operator, petty officer, first class, SEAL, Aaron C. Vaughn, 30 of Stuart, Florida. His folks have been on the Savage Nation. Special warfare operator, petty officer, first class, SEAL, Jason R. Workman, 32 of Blanding, Utah. Special warfare operator, petty officer, first class, SEAL, Jesse D. Pittman, 27 of Ukiah, California. And special warfare operator, petty officer, second class, SEAL, Nicholas P. Spihar, 24 of St. Paul, Minnesota. Aboard that ill-fated helicopter, also plummeting to their deaths in that fiery wreckage, were soldiers. Chief Warrant Officer David R. Carter, 47 of Centennial, Colorado. Chief Warrant Officer Brian J. Nichols, 31 of Hayes, Kansas. Staff Sergeant Patrick D. Hamburger, 30 of Lincoln, Nebraska. Sergeant Alexander J. Bennett, 24 of Tacoma, Washington. Specialist Spencer C. Duncan, 21 of Kansas. There were airmen killed in that crash, 3 of them. And that will complete the list. The real heroes that Obama spits upon. Technical Sergeant John W. Brown, 33 of Tallahassee, Florida. Staff Sergeant Andrew W. Harvell, 26 of Long Beach, California. And finally, Technical Sergeant Daniel L. Zerbe, 28 of York, Pennsylvania. These are the real Americans. And as you'll notice, none of them hail from New York City. None of them hail from San Francisco. None of them hail from Austin, Texas. None of them hail from the liberal bastions where hatred for this nation's honors, honor and traditions are a commonplace. I did all I can do tonight on this subject, ladies and gentlemen. There's no more I can say. I got to take a quick break because, as you probably just heard, it was very difficult for me to read the names because although I don't know any of them, I didn't know any of them, I'm a strange person. I have a tremendous capacity of emoting. I have a great capacity for empathy. And each name conjured up an image of a young man who was once an infant who then became a boy, who then became an adolescent, who then became a boy and an adolescent, who became a man, who decided to do something for America, because he realized the Islamic threat was prevalent, and that if they didn't do it, darn it, who would? If they didn't want to risk their lives, who would go face these barbaric throwbacks? Who would face them? These Islamic powers, who have little to fear from a neutered United States, where a president has the audacity to give a Presidential Medal of Freedom to a woman who celebrates turning boys into girls. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Welcome back to the Savage Nation. Today we are remarking on the meltdown of American culture under Obama. I mean, you'd expect nothing less, really, from a radical leftist who disrespects America's traditions than to make awards like this to someone as despicable as Oprah Winfrey, for example, who just the other day called for the death of millions of people of another race, or of a president who had been impeached. It's unbelievable. I mean, but you say, well, it's unbelievable. No, that's how it works. So we expect it from him. So I can get all negative, or I can go positive in a negative fashion, which I did. And I read the names of all of those SEALs and others who were sent to their fiery deaths in that helicopter crash that so agitates me that I wrote my novel, A Time for War, really, and dedicated it to them by opening the book over the Tangi Valley, Afghanistan, where this crash occurred. In fact, what I think I'm going to do in the next hour is actually going to read the four pages of the helicopter crash that I fictionalized, because sometimes fiction will tell the story better than reality. I hope that you didn't get depressed by my reading the names. I mean, I hope you, I can't say enjoyed it. Someone has to remember their names. There's a lot of lip service for our, quote, heroes, and there's a lot of frauds in Hollywood who play heroes like Tom Cruise, who must think he's an actual Navy SEAL because he went swimming in Malibu once. And I'm sure that Sean Penn thinks he's an actual hero because he beats up people on the screen and throws cell phones at people in San Francisco lobbies. I'm sure he thinks he's tougher than any Navy SEAL. Maryland, WCBM, Donna, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi, Dr. Savage. Thank you so much. That was such an honorable way to do what the president isn't doing. So I also want to tell you that I've been a part of a foundation fundraiser recently for these SEALs in particular. Friends of the Vaughn family have been doing this. And my husband, who's a Vietnam veteran, and the rest of my family and I will be doing it again this coming fall. So,
well, all I can say is it's people like you that keep traditions alive in a culture that is melting down more rapidly than the Arctic ice cap, which isn't melting at all. Thanks for the call. So what do we want? I can shift gears. I realize it wasn't funny. It wasn't sarcastic. There was not enough humor. And that's okay. I mean, I'm not going to do it every second of my life. It's try to be smart. Be smart, Mike. Be humorous, Mike. Hey, Mike, tell us a joke, Mike. I can't do it every day. Today, this is depressing. See, an award going to Gloria Steinem, Bill Clinton, Oprah Winfrey. I had to say something. I had to speak out. I mean, I expected him to further degenerate the meaning of this award, but I didn't think it would melt down this rapidly. I felt like coupling it with an article I read this morning on 12 fish you should never, ever eat. And why? I mean, I thought that if I read the names that were given the awards by Obama today and the 12 fish you should never, ever eat, like imported catfish. Number two is caviar. It's an interesting list, by the way. I hate catfish. I don't like caviar. I've been eating Atlantic cod you're not supposed to eat because they're almost extinct from overfishing. The American eel. I wouldn't eat an eel if it was my last meal on Earth. How could they serve that in Japanese restaurants, an American eel, full of PCBs? Shrimp, imported shrimp, don't eat it. I don't eat shrimp. Toxic. Imported shrimp actually holds the designation of being the dirtiest of the dirty dozen. as 90% of shrimp sold in the U.S. is imported. Imported farm shrimp comes with a whole bevy of contaminants, antibiotics, residues from chemicals used to clean pens, filth like mouse hair, rat hair, and pieces of insects. And he didn't even mention things like E. coli that have been detected in imported shrimp. Part of this has to do with the fact that less than 2% of all imported seafood, shrimp, crab, catfish, or others, gets inspected before it's sold. See, I don't eat that anymore. You know, I used to love the pescatore, pasta in Italian restaurants. I won't eat it anymore. I will not eat it. I try to get domestic seafood wherever I go. And I ask the guys. They don't find it offensive. I ask, is the shrimp from the Gulf of Mexico? And even that I won't eat. But for God's sakes, you've got to understand you're putting toxins in your body. And believe me, your liver and your kidneys know it. Your liver and your kidneys know it. Crab now, shark. Shark they're killing off. But sharks are very high in mercury, incidentally. But by killing off sharks, ocean ecosystems are collapsing. Why? See, when there's no sharks around, the fish that they eat, like rays and jellyfish, increase in numbers. And then the rays eat and deplete scallops and other fish. That's called ecology, boys and girls. You can laugh at it all you want and sneer out of your ignorance, but there is such a thing as called an ecosystem. Orange roughy, high levels of mercury. But the thing about orange roughy is it takes up to 20 to 40 years for these fish to reach full maturity. Would you believe it? 20 to 40 years. So if you overfish orange roughy, you destroy that, you decimate the population. Some large restaurant chains, including Red Lobster, refuse to serve it because they don't want to serve over-harvested fish. Never mind. I won't eat it anyway because at a certain Chinese restaurant, they always say orange roughy. I never heard of it. I didn't know what orange roughy was. Atlantic bluefin tuna you shouldn't eat. Why? Highest levels of mercury of any type of tuna because they're at the top of the food chain in the ocean or near the top. On top of it, because of everyone wants sushi. Everyone wants sushi. So the delicate liberals. I'll have mahi. I'll have ahi. I'll have rahi and pahi. Honey, you want some mahi or ahi or rahi? They think they're doing good for the environment, these creeps. Delicately eating sushi. They're knocking off a species. They all think they're doing good when they go to dinner. I love that. That self-righteousness over a dinner. They think they're not eating meat and potatoes, so they're better than you. I'll have some sushi. Would you like some ahi or mahi? Bluefin tuna now is almost near extinction levels. Critically endangered. Laugh at it if you want. Go ahead. Be a schmuck. Laugh at it. Be a moronic, idiotic, knee-jerk conservative. See if I care. Make yourself into a stereotype of a moron. And laugh at it. Laugh at the idea of overfishing and overharvesting. And sit there like a putz and say, oh, don't worry, it'll come back. I hear that. Blah, blah, blah. Puff, puff, puff. It'll come back. Chilean sea bass, almost near extinction, high in mercury as well. So, you know, we're reaching a really strange point in the degradation not only of our culture by a... You see, it's interesting. There is a parallel, by the way, between what I just talked about. The degeneration of our culture under the leftist fanatics and the degradation of our ecosystems because of the overpopulation and the overharvesting has a similarity to it. There's something there. I don't know what it is yet. Sometimes I wonder if there is something. There is definitely not wonder. I know it as a biologist. There are too many people on the planet. You say, what? Savage said there are too many people on the planet? Yes, and we cannot sustain them. Again, you could be a putz and an ignoramus and say that's not true. You can listen to morons who don't know anything about ecosystems and ecology, nothing about science, and keep saying, why? The Earth can continue to support human beings. No, it can't. No, it can't. We are the most rapacious species on the planet. We eat everything in sight, devour everything, pollute everything. Just everything is for us. So what does this have to do with Medal of Freedom or what? I don't know. Let's take some calls. I got a lot more to do. I don't know what I want to do tonight. Eating peanuts here. I'm eating pistachio nuts. I'm drinking a Perrier, neither of which is sponsors. Got the news. Haven't done the newspapers yet. Let's see what's in that garbage. Let's see. Stacking up the papers. I know I'm going to stop buying them soon. 3 days now I bought them. They cost me $2 for the New York Times. I don't read it. First of all, Teddy stopped peeing in the house years ago. I don't need it. Afghans demand that U.S. admit military errors. Seek letter by Obama. Well, he should do that. He's very good at apologizing to dictators and threatening the citizenry. Perks ease weight in health plans for lawmakers. Again, you have to deconstruct what the lunatics mean. Perks ease weight in health plans for lawmakers. Let's translate that. Can you translate that? It's real simple. The lawmakers are now becoming the equivalent of the Politburo in the ex-Soviet Union. Beirut bombs strike at Iran as Assad's ally. I can't even read this paper. It's, no wonder I gave it up. It's enough. Here's one. J.P. Morgan reveals how it formed mortgages. They're the new bad guy. You want to really get into the bankers? There's a local bank where they made $3 billion, and they give all their money to liberal causes. I'll tell you what we're going to do. Can you name the individuals who built up the savings and loan and sold it off before it collapsed, made $25 billion, and have given all their money to the ACLU and other fanatically left-wing causes? If you do, you get a free prize. Anyone listening to this show know who I'm talking about? There's a very famous left-wing philanthropy, a couple of philanthropists in the Bay Area who are well-known to the ACLU. They built up an SNL chain. They sold it off just before the mortgage collapse. They made $23 billion, and then it turned out to be worthless paper. Anyone know their names? You win a free prize. It's a free trip to, well, I don't know where yet. I'll figure it out.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Talk 560, KSFO.
Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Well, in the last hour, we were sitting here, and I did a couple of things, if you just joined us. I read the names of the individuals who Obama honored with the nation's highest civilian award, and we're not shocked that he would do it, but to put names like Oprah Winfrey on the list, after just the other day, we played a soundbite of her saying that millions need to die for racism to end. Bill Clinton, I mean, come on, you know what it's meant to do. It's meant to debase the meaning of the word freedom. The medal is for freedom, Presidential Medal of Freedom. It's the opposite of freedom when you have people like this getting the award. And then I read the names of those killed in a helicopter crash, which you have probably forgotten, but I'm not going to repeat the story. And then at the end of the hour, for those of you who just tuned in to the Savage Nation, I stumbled upon this article, J.P. Morgan Reveals How It Formed Mortgages. As you know, J.P. Morgan Chase and Justice Department reached a record $13 billion settlement on Tuesday, based on state and federal investigations that offers a glimpse into Wall Street's mortgage machine before the financial crisis, when it churned out billions of dollars in securities that later imploded. And I mentioned at the end of that article that there was a couple who built up a local savings and loan chain, which they unloaded just before the crash to a bigger bank that went under, and they made $25 billion, and they used most of their charity for extremely leftist causes on the order of Soros. And I asked you if you knew their names. Kirk on KSFO does know some of those. Kirk, welcome to the program. Who might they be?
Mike, they're the Sandlers, and they don't deserve to be mentioned as individuals because cancer cells alone can't do what they do. They need to do it as a team.
Yeah, but it looks like they're good people. They have performing arts centers. They give money to charities. The Sandlers they've given a lot to charities. At UC Medical Center. The Sandlers have given away a lot of their money to good charities, haven't they?
Well, you know, that's what guilty people do in my experience.
You're breaking up, Kurt. How do you happen to know the name Sandler with regard to the mortgage business?
Mike, I've listened to you for years.
Well, but I'm just a radical who doesn't know anything. I mean, people who follow Barbara Boxer and Dianne Feinstein and Nancy Pelosi wouldn't agree with us, would they? They would think the Sandlers are wonderful people.
Well, the Sandlers are the types of people that keep them in office, Mike.
Really? Well, you know, I'm not sure if the state attorney general's office is looking into the banking relationship between the Golden West Savings Association, which was sold in 2006 for $24 billion, to Wachovia Bank. Do you know what that's all about? Does anyone know what I'm talking about? Herbert Sandler. Not casting any aspersions upon them, but he and his wonderful wife, Marion Sandler, created the Golden West Financial Corporation, a world savings bank. In 1963, the Sandlers created Golden West Financial Corporation, a savings and loan holding company, to acquire Golden West Savings and Loan, the predecessor to World Savings. And then Golden West grew into one of the largest thrifts in the U.S. with assets of approximately $125 billion, deposits of $60 billion, and 12,000 employees. And then what happened was quite interesting. What happened is Golden West was sold in 06 for $24 billion to Wachovia. And the Sandlers owned about 10% of the company at the time of the sale, making their share of the sale price worth about $2.4 billion. Of this, the Sandlers gave $1.3 billion to the Sandler Foundation. Now, what does the Sandler Foundation do? That's a secondary question. The first question is, do you find it odd that Golden West was sold for $24 billion to Wachovia, and that shortly thereafter Wachovia was enmeshed in some kind of mortgage problems? The Sandlers helped found and are among the largest benefactors of the Center for Responsible Lending, and they fight predatory mortgage lending, wouldn't you know? Isn't that interesting? They also fund the Center for American Progress, a so-called progressive think tank. They fund ProPublica along with George Soros, an investigative reporting newsroom that's set up to destroy anything truthful, in my opinion. In addition, the Sandlers or their foundation support organizations involved in human rights and civil liberties. If you search the internet, you will find not one negative article about Herbert or Marion Sandler, no relationship to Wachovia going bankrupt whatsoever. I would suspect that Obama should consider giving the Sandlers the Presidential Medal of Freedom next year. It's sad that they were not given this award because they meet all of the criteria for him. 855-407-282. If you joined us late, in the last hour we played some of the recipients of the Presidential Medal of Freedom with equivalencies from the Westminster Kennel Show. I think we should play clip four with Gloria Steinem and the winning Sharpie. I think that's a fun one. Let's get them excited again in what we did in the last hour. Gloria Steinem, intro.
Gloria Steinem. A trailblazing writer and feminist organizer, Gloria Steinem has been at the forefront of the fight for equality and social justice for more than four decades.
The Sharpei probably dates to the Han Dynasty, about 200 B.C. The name literally is translated as sand skin or sandpaper-like coat.
Yeah, right. You get the picture. It was the Westminster Kennel Show run by the Master of Ceremonies, Obama. All right, it's time for your calls, 855-407-282 on this Wednesday night, the 20th of November, 2013. Let's go to Ginger. I'm sorry, let's go to Norman on WABC. Norman, you're up. Go ahead, fire away.
I used to like Oprah, but when I hear her name now, my blood boils when she said a few days ago that a lot of people that don't like Obamacare are racist. And that night I heard Harvey Weinstein repeat the same thing. I started to think that this country is, we elected a black president, but we're really not ready for one, because if you cannot criticize your own president without being called racist, we're just not ready for a black president. And it's not the white people's fault. It's the race baiters that keep bringing it up.
It has nothing to do with race. It has to do with the fact that he was foisted on us with a lying story. And he's incompetent. He is not capable of being the president. He's wrecked the country on too many different levels. Thanks for the call. There's an article I found, finally, from content.time. 25 people to blame for the financial crisis. They have not yet been named by Eric Holder, nor do I suspect they will be. They've gone after that big bank in New York and some other banks. J.P. Morgan is paying $13 billion to settle this investigation into the financial crisis of 08. But thus far, I have not seen anything about the Sandlers, because obviously they did nothing wrong. But this website says 25 people are blamed for the financial crisis, and these are their words. Marion and Herb Sandler. In the early 1980s, the Sandler's World Savings Bank became the first to sell a tricky home loan called the Option ARM. As they pushed the mortgage, which offered several ways to backload your loan and thereby reduce your early payments, with increasing zeal and misleading advertisements over the next two decades. The couple pocketed $2.3 billion when they sold their bank to Arcovia in 06. But losses on World Savings' loan portfolio led to the implosion of Arcovia, which was sold under duress late last year to Wells Fargo. The Sandlers respond here. They said, don't pin the blame on us. They're on the page. There are others. So what I'm going to say, if you agree or disagree, you don't even know who they are. Like, you don't know who the SEALs were who died. You don't know who Marion and Herb Sandler are. That's because the media is owned lock, stock, and barrel. Marion, she passed away. Oh, sad. June 4th, 2012. Marion O. Sandler, 81, obituary. Well, may she rest in peace. Banker and philanthropist dies. New York Times. And her husband transformed a two-office bank into one of the biggest savings and loan firms in the country, Golden West. Well, I guess that's why Eric Holder can't look into this. The Spectator.org covered them in June 2nd, 2011, calling them liberal. Wait, I'm going to read more on this. Liberal billionaire bankers Herb and Marion Sandler paid Acorn to hurt Wells Fargo. Whoa! By Matthew Vadim, 6211. Subprime mortgage hucksters, Herb and Marion Sandler, may she rest in peace, who founded the SNL known as World Savings Bank, paid Acorn around $11 million. In an incredible non-coincidence, Acorn's startup trouble for the left-wing couple's competition, Wells Fargo. Oh, Herb. Oh, Herb. It stinks like rotten gefilte fish. Acorn demonstrated against Wells Fargo and issued slanted studies attacking Wells Fargo. The Sandlers also used their front group, the so-called Center for Responsible Lending, to smear their competition. Ultimately, Wachovia committed suicide when it purchased the Sandlers' shaky mortgage portfolio. The Sandlers even made it onto Time Magazine's 25 people to blame for the financial crisis list. That's why he wrote in his new book, Subversion, Inc. And that's what I talked about on Michael Savage's radio show, The Savage Nation, last night. I didn't know that. Good for him. Oh, I didn't know I interviewed him. Wait, who wrote this? Matthew Vadim. Oh, I remember now. We should have him back. We should replay that interview. He said, I said the same thing on Fox TV show 2 years ago. And an Acorn spokesman and I yelled at each other, much to the consternation of Phil and host Alex Lamella. Back then, no one may even watch the Fox video. That was interesting. So there it is. Somebody knows who they are. Now, Marion, of course, has gone to her reward. I'm sure she's in liberal heaven. But Herb is still here. Herb is still here. And Eric Holder does have a chance to exonerate the accusations against him that he's a biased attorney general. I mean, what's good for the goose is good for the gander, Mr. Holder. And you could make tremendous friends on the conservative side of the aisle by looking into banks other than J.P. Morgan and how they form mortgages. If you were to look into some of the leftist former owners of some of these banks and discover things that were not kosher, so to speak, I'm sure the American people would be interested to learn that you may not be as biased as some fear. This is the Savage Nation. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
You know, I don't hate progressives because they're progressives per se. I hate them because they're hypocrites, almost every one of them. I'm going to give you an example. San Francisco is filled with the most fraudulent politicians in the United States of America, maybe the world. They all talk the talk, but behind the scenes, you know what they must be like the crack mayor from Toronto. Here's an article came out today that's going to prove my point. Headline, Jane Ree MacYoung, former SF Politico, ordered to stay away from her kids. Sounds innocent enough, right? That's because they're covering for her. Listen to what she did to her children, according to her husband. And listen to that she's the chairwoman for the San Francisco Community Youth Center. A San Mateo County court has granted a restraining order against Jane Ree MacYoung, the chairwoman for the San Francisco Community Youth Center. Following her husband's accusation, she abused him and the two young children. So, all right, that goes on all the time, but wait, you're not going to believe what you hear. According to court documents, on April 19, 2013, Clifford Young filed a petition for restraining order in sole custody of two children, Tanner, 7, and L, 19 months, alleging dozens of scenarios in which his wife physically and verbally abused the three of them. Okay, you heard that before. Wait a minute. You never heard this, though. This takes child abuse to a new level. Specifically, on March 13, 2012, Mr. Young claims his wife, January, quote, threatened to cut off Tanner's hand if he did not complete his Kumon math packet, close quote, according to court documents. Per the documents on March 26, 2012, Tanner again refused to do his Kumon assignment. Mother January threatened to pinch Tanner if he did not finish his work. Tanner threw his pencil on the ground and January dragged him into the kitchen. Quote, I came into the kitchen and saw January holding one of Tanner's wrists in one hand and a butcher knife in the other. Close quote, husband Clifford stated in court records. Did you hear that? The mother was holding one of the child's wrists in one hand and a butcher knife in the other. She's on a human rights commission and a child commission. After seeing her husband, the document continues, January put the knife down, then slapped Tanner across the face. A month later, she hurled a diaper bag with jars of baby food in it at her husband. He claims it caused swelling and bruising to his head. I think she should be considered as a, let's say, perhaps not the Booker Prize, but perhaps the Presidential Medal of Freedom for next year. Because this would meet the woman who's had enough of the husband and children. And she goes along with the, what's her name? What's her name? That woman who got one today, that vile creature from the black. The children and I can no longer bear the trauma and anxiety we endure living with January. I fear for our safety if January is not excluded from the family, Clifford stated. Messages sent to January Mac Young have not yet been returned. On November 8th, the court made a finding of domestic violence, granted the following. January must stay 100 yards away from her children and her husband's job, home, and car. She will not be allowed to disturb a family that includes calling, threatening, attacking, and striking. An exception to the restraining order includes doctor's appointments for the kids' school, plays, and games. She will also be allowed to attend, wait, she will also be allowed to attend PTA events as the PTA vice president. This is the San Francisco Bay Area. Everything's not what it appears to be. Well, to me, everything is what it appears to be. When they appear and give a speech, the politicians here, I get out my gas mask. She must move out of the family home. Husband Clifford Young will have temporary legal and physical custody of the children, provided he keep his wife informed of the kids' medical school in Chungha. Let's see. January Mack Young, a Hillsborough resident, is currently the chairwoman. Now here comes the punchline. Community Youth Center at San Francisco and the chair of the San Francisco Women's Political Committee Advisory Board. She formerly worked as a legislative aide for former San Francisco supervisor Fiona Ma and was a staff member to Congressman Tom Lantos, D. San Mateo. She also ran for San Francisco County Supervisor in 06. Another hearing review is custody case scheduled for December 20th. So that's San Francisco's hypocrisy. And I didn't say hip-hop-cracy, but it may as well be a hip-hop-cracy. All right, let's move on to the next case here. All right, hear ye. The Savage Court of Affairs is now in order. Bring your victims before me. Prologue, A Time for War, a thriller by Michael Savage. Paperback, available everywhere. The book is dedicated to those Navy SEALs who were sent to their death, and there's been no investigation to this day. 4 pages, that's all I'm going to read you. I wrote this book for them. I only have 48 seconds, I can't do it. Tangi Valley, Afghanistan. Chief Petty Officer James Grand sat on the rattling red canvas seat among 38 of his fellow SEALs as the CH-47D Chinook slashed across the dusty valley. Shall I go on or not? You want me to do something else? Maybe a meatball recipe? Something cheerful? Tell us jokes, Mike? I can't be funny. I'm not in a funny mood. I don't feel clever tonight after reading those dead men's names. I feel sick. I don't feel sick. I feel sad. I feel sad that heroes like that are spit on by the illegitimate vermin who run this country. I feel sick that the lowest common denominator is in the highest places in this country. How's that? Does that work for you?
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
You could put politics out front and do that day and night. Fine. Some do it. They do it well. I don't. I've always made it part, but not the entire package. Why? Because I'm more than politics. And secondly, you can get that anywhere else. And thirdly, when you think about it, I'll be following Rush. So all your political stuff you're going to get from him. if you listen to him at all. I mean, I don't know. Some do, some don't. I hope you do. Nice. His third hour will grow wherever I'm on after him. He should know that. He should get off his high, Gulf Stream and understand that I'm a benefit to him. But all right, I don't need it. He don't need me. I don't need him. Okay, he's a world unto himself. He runs the Rush Limbaugh cartel of radio-ology. And that's his deal. But I broke free of that mountain man, and I broke free, frankly, of that whole cartel. They had me marginalized, they thought. They had me where they wanted me. You know, wrong syndicator for a long while, then marginal stations for a long while, then bad time slot. All of a sudden, out of nowhere, how did this happen? We should control that. Well, you can't control everything. The times, they are changing. As Bob Dylan said, in that great song, "The Times They Are Changing." Play "The Times They Are Changing." There's a good line in there, like, "The loser is now the win." I love that line. Because in many ways, all of us feel like that.
For the loser now will be later to win. For the times they are changing.
Very emotional statement. I got chills up and down my body. I'm in a sweat from that line. Because I went into it. I really felt it. I got to tell you, I felt it. I feel like I've been down all my life. I've been down so long, it's starting to look like up to me. You know that phrase, don't you? I am so used to being on the outside of things that I can never, ever be on the inside of things. Do you understand that? That's a take on the take. That's a take on Groucho Marx's famous line that any club that would have me as a member I wouldn't join, which is very funny, but that's not what I'm saying. I've been an outsider so long, there is no way for me to ever pretend to be an insider, and I don't intend to start in January. Do you understand what I just said? Because that's almost the zeitgeist of what we've been talking about all night tonight on the show. I'm asking you to be my producer, my audience, my loyal audience, because that's who's listening tonight. I can guarantee you this is a diehard core audience. This is it. This is the inner circle. I don't know who else is on the show, but these lights are so hot, it looks like a tilted pinball machine. That's how hot the lights are tonight. I don't know why, but they're there for me. They're as excited as I am about that opening. But everyone is saying be yourself, because that's all I can be anyway. The thing is, but they're saying something else without even knowing it. What they were really saying is, Michael, we're all outsiders. You speak for us. You can't pretend that you're an insider, because you're not. Oprah Winfrey, she said racists have to die for racism to end. I'm not making this up. Oprah Winfrey, one of the wealthiest people in the world, is throwing the race card again. During an interview with the BBC Friday, she not only said that President Obama is treated with disrespect because he's black, really, but also that entire generations of white racists are going to have to die for racism to end. Wow. It's late at night already. You've heard it all. You're jaded. Normal people aren't listening to the radio, right? Average people are not listening to the radio. They're going to Pilates classes. They're in Kung Fu academies. They're shopping for Thanksgiving. They're going to the orthodontist to fix their teeth or their children's teeth. They're watching a show about, JFK. They're interested in JFK. Why are we interested in JFK again? Are we not finished with that? Again? Every time Obama gets in trouble, we hear about Camelot. Every time a Democrat falls off the cliff, there we go again, JFK and Camelot again. Well, okay. Then you have this creature from the Black Lagoon, the slimy limey Martin Basher, saying that someone should defecate and urinate in Sarah Palin's mouth on MSNBC, on Microsoft NBC, General Electric, Microsoft NBC, General Electric, Microsoft NBC, General Electric. The dwarf, the mental dwarf, Martin Basher, the slimy limey, as I've affectionately referred to him over the years, says the following, clip 7, and you have to hear it. I'm going to insist you listen to this.
Thistlewood was the son of a tenant farmer who arrived on the island of Jamaica in April 1750 and assumed the position of overseer at a major plantation. In 1756, he records that a slave named Darby catched eating canes, had him well flogged and pickled, then made Hector, another slave, S-H-I-T, in his mouth.
That's number one of the mentally deranged hosts on MSNBC. He uses a word that no one uses in the media. Now he gets even more insane and qualifies for a straitjacket in clip 8.
And he mentions a similar incident again in 1756, this time in relation to a man he refers to as Punch. Flogged Punch well, made Negro Joe, piss in his eyes and mouth. When Mrs. Palin invokes slavery, she doesn't just prove her rank ignorance. She confirms that if anyone truly qualified for a dose of discipline from Thomas Thistlewood, then she would be the outstanding candidate.
That's all, of course, with the pseudo-high-class British voice. Now you understand why I don't trust people with British accents. But, I mean, there's no question you can ask by this other than why is Phil Griffin still working today? Now you say, well, why is this happening? There are many reasons. The primary reason is because liberalism is a mental disorder, which is the title of a book I published in 2005. So don't accuse me of selling a book. Even if I were selling a book, that would be fine, but I'm not. The book's in print, but I'm not selling it. What I want you to hear is why I think they're mentally disabled. They are disabled people. They're sick. They're probably on medication. I don't know. These are, you know, private, confidential documents. I think liberalism is reaching a point of no return from the point of view of mental illness. And if I'm going to read you something, you're going to find that almost everything you hear from other conservative talk shows has been stolen from my books, and they don't even know it. I am so far ahead of the curve, and I really am so far ahead of the curve that things I've written 5, 6, 8 years ago are now being said as though they never heard it before. They don't know they're quoting my own book. Their producers have ripped off my books and given it to the host to read. I'll give you an example. In the beginning of the book, Liberalism is a Mental Disorder, here's what I wrote. In this book, I will demonstrate how well-intentioned liberal programs, plans, and ideas often lead to terrible results. While the impulse for helping others is well-intentioned, the results often border on insanity. As such, is liberalism a mental disorder? Can all liberals be mentally disordered? Are good intentions good enough? Let me define the terms. You want me to go on or not? Are you already bored to death? I think I'll stop. Mike, tell us a meatball recipe. It's a good book. I'm not going to read you my own book. It's a good book, very good book, way ahead of its time. I did well with it, that's all. But there's something else in there that you didn't see in the great book, Liberalism is a Mental Disorder, by me, Michael Savage. You want to hear? It was the preface to the introduction. You ready for this one? Because this comes at you from the other side. This gives you a wrist slap from the other hand. The preface says the conservative movement is dead, and I'm quoting my own book, 2005. I take no pleasure in making that observation. Let's face facts. Most of the red state politicians fail to comprehend that the American people are behind them and that the people want them to push through Congress a real conservative agenda. I wish that these empty suits would provide the leadership necessary to defend America from those who would do her harm instead of taking the side of the enemy. And I go on, and I say on my radio show this, on my radio show that, when the internationalists attack Christian fundamentalism, let us not forget they're also attacking Judaism. I direct that to my liberal Jewish listeners. This book, I wrote, has been designed to pour a caustic solution on the edifices of liberalism. It was very good. I don't really have to tell you how good it is. Now, this leads us to the news of the day. Now, let's see what else is in the news. So I went to lunch today alone. So I go to a little Chinese restaurant, sit by myself around 2:45 where I can get a table and a newspaper. And I noticed these stories, and I thought they were worth... I said, oh, this is right up my alley. This was an interesting story about Eric Holder doing something I actually approve of. I know you say, wait a minute. Well, even a stopwatch, as they say, you know, is right twice a day. And I must tell you, I had to put down my egg roll to turn the pages to look into this story. Well, the picture of Obama is worth $1,000, which is really amazing. In a reversal, Obama moves to avert the cancellation of health policies, but the man really looks chagrined, shocked, and it's frightening to look at in a way because the president's entire persona is different from this. But that's not the story that hit me. The story that got me was this. U.S. investigates currency trades by major banks. Cartel was nicknamed. Suspicions of meddling in market handling $5 trillion a day. And what this is about is that an international investigation into banks like Barclays, the Royal Bank of Scotland, and Citigroup, according to recent public disclosures by the banks and interviews with investigators, blah, 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 they're talking about traders in foreign currencies who ultimately flooded the market with trades that potentially raised the cost of currency for clients but aided the bank's own investments. And then they interview Eric Holder, who says the manipulation we've seen so far may just be the tip of the iceberg. I was shocked that Eric Holder would actually go after banks of this magnitude. No, I really was. because it's not typical of this administration to go after, shall I put it this way, looks to me like major donors to the Democrat machine. U.S. investigates currency trades by major banks, a likely signal of a legal crackdown on a huge market. And the first thing that came to my mind when I read about currency trades was none other than George Soros, who was not mentioned in this, by the way. I want to be very clear about that. George Soros, who made his fortune originally, so far as I know it, in currency trades, is not mentioned in any of this, but major banks are. And I'm wondering now, I had a wondering moment, could all of this lead back to the big boy himself? I have no idea, nor do I cast any aspersions upon Mr. Soros' superb dealings in trading and currencies in the back of the temple. 855-400-7282. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
Well, here's some good news, if you want good news tonight. UN climate talks fall apart because 132 countries ran out of the meeting. So that's the good news. The climate hucksters are going to be wringing their hands. Al Gorleone, who as president was worth $2 million, and now as environmental huckster is worth, I don't know, a couple of $100 million, who knows what he's worth, will be very unhappy to see that this whole thing has fallen apart. Poor countries pulled out of the United Nations climate talks during a fight over transferring wealth from richer countries to fight global warming. They want you to pay taxes to the gangsters in the third world now because of global warming that doesn't exist. Listen to the number they want. Poor gangsters have demanded that the developed world give them $100 billion annually by 2020 to prepare for the impacts of global warming, such as heat waves and droughts. So listen to what one of the sanest politicians in the world said. Thank God there's one conservative in the Western nations, if you want to call Australia a Western nation. Prime Minister Tony Abbott said this: the carbon tax is bad for the economy and it doesn't do any good for the environment, said Prime Minister Tony Abbott. Despite a carbon tax of $37 a ton by 2020, Australia's domestic emissions were going up, not down. Listen to this line, though. The carbon tax was basically socialism masquerading as environmentalism, and that's why it's going to get abolished. Japan has also been seen as bucking the UN's climate goals by allowing greenhouse gas emissions to grow by 3%. The Fukushima disaster shuttered the island nation's nuclear power industry, as you may remember, and dashed its hopes of lowering greenhouse gases, blah, blah, blah. So now you look at the pictures in the Daily Caller of the meeting, and you see all the third worlders, knocking down the food in the hallway. You got someone from Peru wearing a top hat and a shmata over her shoulders, some ethnic garb, knocking down the corned beef or the roast beef, whatever they're eating. You see another one from the Brazilian rainforest wearing a baseball hat, knocking down a beer of some kind with another meal. You see all of the impoverished third worlders gobbling as fast as they can all of the first world food, and then going back with food falling out of their hands, screaming about unfairness and this and that. They're acting just like the Democrats in San Francisco. They really are. The kleptocracies of the world should get out of the 14th century. And then get back to us. Unbelievable to me. This is an astounding article. It really is. It's good news, really. Very, very good news. Look what someone wrote. First, the extreme liberals wage class warfare here in the U.S., and now that they're bored with that, they took their evil scheme to stay in power globally. The next person says, this is the best, because I've said this for years. What schools do you attend? Carbon dioxide is utilized by plants, which then give off oxygen necessary for other life on the planet. Or did this process get skipped over in your education? So regardless of the amount of CO2 produced, plants just thrive and create more oxygen. I've said that for years. I mean, it's basic high school biology, but I guess most people in Congress never took high school biology. They were busy taking theater. They were thespians in high school. Here's another one who wrote: what exactly is the impact of carbon dioxide emissions? The climate has been cooling over the last 15 years. Sea levels have dropped a little. Ice caps on both poles have gotten bigger. Listen to this one. Storms? In about 1916, 15,000 people were killed by a typhoon in the same region of the Philippines that was hit recently by a typhoon, killing 2,000. The population is denser now than it was then. indicating that the earliest storm was probably far worse. Recently, there have been fewer hurricanes and tornadoes than in a very long time. The whole global warming thing is being misrepresented by money grubbers and their unthinking followers. And so on. All one has to do is look at people like Al Gore. As VP, Gore's net worth was less than $2 million. As Al Gore, environmental nut, currently stands at 300 plus mil. Get it? Do you get it? 855-400-7282. 855-400-7282. How about India? Have you ever been to that cesspool? I mean, you hear about the wonders of India. Have you ever been there and seen the garbage in the streets? This trash in the streets? While they're here at this conference telling us that we have to take care of them? And by the way, the garbage just washes into the rivers, down into the Ganges and out to the sea. And they tell you that we're dirty. Anyway, you get the picture. It's all hypocrisy. God, I wish we could have America back. When can we ever get America back? Do you think we'll ever get America back? That's a good question, really, for another day. Can America ever be gotten back from these gangsters, these fraudulent left-wing lupometers? Can we ever take the country back from the fraudulent lupometers who are running the world? Is it possible? Or is it too far gone? You can't call in a thing like that. It's impossible to answer it. It's a semi-rhetorical question for which there's an obvious answer, but who wants to really listen to it? A Time for War, Michael Savage, dedicated to the poor SEALs and the others who died in that helicopter. Still no investigation because of a spineless Republican administration. That if we had a viable two-party system, people would be screaming outside Congress for an investigation into that crash that killed all of these heroes who I dedicated tonight's show to. So here is A Time for War. Kirk's review says, who says radio hosts are all talk? In Savage's cool-tempered thriller, hero Jack Hatfield saves the nation, Kirkus Reviews. So this is a little different than putting on a three-pointed hat and selling a cup of tea and making believe I'm George Washington. Tangi Valley, Afghanistan. Chief Petty Officer James Grant sat on the rattling red canvas seat among 38 of his fellow SEALs as the CH-47 Chinook slashed across the dusty valley. He didn't really see the men sitting across from him, wasn't aware of the white sunlight coming through the big windows, washing color from the cabin, save for the bright red and white blue of the flag stretched across the roof 3 feet above him. Some genetic part of him was always aware of Old Glory, wherever he was, whenever he was, however small or large, whether it was a grocer's lapel pin or high in a staff. But right now, ferrying the quick reaction team to a firefight, James Grand wasn't thinking of the present. He did what he always did when the uncertainty of the war closed in, when nothing was guaranteed. But the present, this moment, he went back to his one pure and perfect time, the 13th of May, 2010. Time is short, so it's, he remembers his beautiful wife when he got married. And he goes back to the tradition of this man, and his father was in the special operations back in 1963. A moment later, the Chinook made a sickening drop that kicked Grand's entire body up against the padded roof of the cabin. There were shouts, but they were just words. Power, down, Christ. His body, along with those of the other men, didn't come down until the helicopter did. You get the picture. And Obama had the nerve to give the Presidential Medal of Freedom to these left-wing rats.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Today is a new low point in the history of America's march on the road to Leninism under Barack Obama. Was taking the road, not the high road, but the low road. The Presidential Medal of Freedom was introduced originally by President Truman, who was a true man. Shall I say we now have something other than a Truman, other than a true man in the White House? Shall we say an untrue man? From President Truman to President Untrue Man. Let me tell you something. The Presidential Medal of Freedom may be nothing to you, but to the left-wing fanatics, to destroy a nation, you destroy its symbols, its edifices, you disgrace its heroes, and you elevate its enemies. When I see that he gave awards to people as low as Gloria Steinem, I can read names you never heard of. Oprah Winfrey gets a Presidential Medal of Freedom after saying the other day that whole masses of people need to be dead in this country. Shall I name the others? We did. Scientists who are not real scientists, but simply because they propose fraudulent ideas about global warming. Judges who are left-wing fanatics who don't belong in America, but the ex-Soviet Union. President Bill Clinton, a Presidential Medal of Freedom Award? Yeah. See, now, on the show today, I talked about those who should have gotten the Presidential Medal of Freedom. You know who they are? They're the service members of the U.S. military killed in the Chinook crash back in August of 2011. We don't know whether they were executed or died in combat. Or remember that little story of putting them aboard an old slow-flying helicopter that mysteriously got shot down, no investigation? Remember that little story? They should have been given the Presidential Medal of Freedom. There should have been empty chairs up there in front of a real president and their names read out. But instead, we have to look at these sad sacks, Bill Clinton, Gloria Steinem, and others, people you never heard of, truthfully. Oprah Winfrey, who do you think really deserves the Presidential Medal of Freedom? I recommend the Navy SEALs and the other heroes executed in the helicopter incident. That's one of the main stories of today. It's kind of wrenching to even talk about it, but we talked about it. Yep, that's what this president does, a president who has taken us from the year 2008 onto a so-called progressive path that is a path of destruction, with exponentially growing entitlement spending, escalating debt, a depreciating currency, an increasingly hollowed-out military which will one day be unable to shoulder the burdens it had once assumed in maintaining world stability. Yeah, that's real progress. That's real progress to someone who hates America. If we had an opposition party with a backbone, he would have been impeached a long time ago. You say he can't be impeached? He could be impeached just on the NSA spying alone. Do you know that? He could be impeached for overriding his constitutional authority with regard to Obamacare. Do you know that? And yet we hear about gender boundaries. It seems that half the people up there were given a Presidential Medal of Freedom simply because their sexuality was offensive to 99% of the American people. What you may not know is this medal can go to military members as well. If we had a legitimate president who was a true leader, who had a damn care in his mind other than pushing forward his radical Leninist agenda, he would have had empty chairs on the stage, and in those chairs would be pictures of the deceased heroes who were killed in that helicopter crash when they were shot down. You probably have forgotten it. August 11th, 2011, service members killed in Chinook 47 crash. These men were killed. They were executed. They were sent up in an old, slow-flying Chinook helicopter, and answers have never been given. We've had the parents of one of these SEALs on this show many times, several times. But there are many names that need to be read. 855-400-7282. Who do you think should have gotten the award? Or let's put it this way. Who was the most offensive recipient today? Was it Gloria Steinem, Bill Clinton, Oprah Winfrey? Chicago Cubs shortstop Ernie Banks? How could he get a Presidential Medal of Freedom? You mean you get a Freedom Award for being a shortstop? I don't quite understand this. Cognitive psychologist Daniel Kahneman? Late civil rights activist and gay activist Bayard Rustin, jazz musician Arturo Sandoval, basketball coach Dean Smith, these people are worthy of a Presidential Medal of Freedom at a time when we're fighting for our very survival against 15th century throwback who will drag us into head-cutting and killing women and children. Gloria Steinem indeed. Bill Clinton indeed. Now, we worked very hard today in the Savage Nation to make our point in a non-vitriolic manner. Occasionally, vitriol will prevail. So let's play Gloria Steinem in the award-winning ceremony. Let's hear that one in clip four.
Gloria Steinem. A trailblazing writer and feminist organizer, Gloria Steinem has been at the forefront of the fight for equality and social justice for more than four decades.
The Charpei probably dates to the Han Dynasty, about 200 B.C. The name literally is translated as sand skin or sandpaper-like coat.
Let's have the next of Oprah Winfrey and the winning bulldog one.
Oprah G. Winfrey. Oprah G. Winfrey is a global media icon. When she launched The Oprah Winfrey Show in 1986, there were few women, and even fewer women of color, with a national platform to discuss the issues and events shaping our times.
Bulldog got its name from the ancient and brutal spectacle of bull baiting. The bulldog's traits of courage and tenacity have made him a symbol of determination.
You get the picture. It sounded like the dog show to me today. Why, you must ask, is Oprah Winfrey suddenly stirring up such vile feelings in so many people, almost to egg people onto a civil war? Why? Why are so many pushing America in the direction of a race war? Why? You do know that there's a spate of wildings running around the streets now. Shall I tell you like it is? Because I will. Because it's a fact, and the fact unto itself is supportable. Case after case after case of groups of young black males attacking white people and beating them almost to death. Happening all over the country, swept under the rug, and yet you're acting as though you don't know why this is happening. And now you have Oprah Winfrey throwing charcoal lighter fuel on the fire. But you have to understand, when there's a revolution, they pulled... You remember pictures, for example, let's reverse it for the popular audience out here. When the Soviets became a communist state, what did they do? Well, they pulled down all the icons of the Russian nation. They also burned churches to the ground. They sacked churches and they killed priests. That's an example of how communists work. We're not there yet, because if you got to make, if you want to make an omelet, you got to break a few eggs, and you got to start small. You know, even a dwarf starts small, so you got to start very small. You do it in a small way, slow. It's the way that you do it if you're a Fabian socialist. And what you do is you do a slow version of tearing down the edifices of freedom and the edifices of dignity in this country. And you never mention a real hero who deserves the Presidential Medal of Freedom. You don't put empty chairs up there with the Navy SEALs and the others who were killed because of incompetence in the Department of Defense, or worse yet, executed. We don't know. Gloria Steinem has a disdain for heterosexual relationships that is worth noting. She said that a woman without a man is like a fish without a bicycle. On marriage and childbearing, this crazy woman said, you become a semi-nun person when you get married. She says she loves abortion. She says, I knew it was the first time I had taken responsibility for my own life. She advocates confusing gender boundaries for children. She said, we've begun to raise daughters like sons, but few have the courage to raise our sons more like daughters. And she glorifies sexual promiscuity, Mr. President, when she said a liberated woman is one who has sex before marriage and a job after. There are others out there who didn't deserve the award. So really, the Presidential Medal of Freedom is sort of like the Kennel Awards, whatever that's called. I don't know. It's sort of the Westminster Kennel Award. To give an award like this to an unknown chemist named Mario Molina, who's done nothing but promote, let us say, junk science, is another embarrassment that we had to listen to today in clip 9. Listen to clip 9. This is astounding. You got to hear this.
Dr. Mario Molina's love of science started as a young boy in Mexico City, in a homemade laboratory in a bathroom at home. And that passion for discovery led Mario to become one of the most respected chemists of his era. He was awarded the Nobel Peace Prize, or the Nobel Prize, rather, not only for his path-breaking research, but also for his insistence that when we ignore dangerous carbon emissions, we risk destroying the ozone layer and endangering our planet.
Rubbish.
And thanks to Mario's work, the world came together to address a common threat. And today, inspired by his example, we're working to leave our planet safer and cleaner for future generations.
Oh, rubbish. The man who invented the new vacuum cleaner would have been a better recipient than this character. What do you mean, path-breaking research? How do you feel about this today? It got me so anguished that we spent all day taking Obama's nauseating commentary on Oprah Winfrey, who just the other day said that many have to die for racism to end, without mentioning the epidemic that is growing of black thugs targeting people around America in knockout games across the country. Oh, yeah. Oh, didn't make it to your local paper? Youths, black youths targeting people of other races. Jews in New York, whites elsewhere, and Asians elsewhere, and the establishment media, the government media, that is, suppressing news of the Black Thug knockout game. Haven't heard about that? There was hardly a straight white male on the stage. I couldn't see one. There maybe may have been one. I don't know. Perhaps. Maybe one of them was a heterosexual white Christian male. There certainly were no war heroes. And by the way, the Presidential Medal of Freedom, if you think I don't know my history, can be granted to military men as well. Of course, the decoration was, as I say, the award was created by Truman. True man. We've gone from true man to false man in my generations. Kennedy established the current decoration in 1963 through an executive order. And he vastly expanded the purpose, by the way. Recipients are selected only by the president. The medal may be awarded to an individual more than once. Colin Powell received it twice. Ellsworth Bunker received both of his awards with distinction. Cesar Chavez was given one of these awards. Who else? Thurgood Marshall. Lyndon Johnson was given an award. That's largely ceremonial. I understand that. But ceremonies have power. If you go back to 2002 and you look at the presidential awards then, they weren't really much better. Hank Aaron, baseball. Bill Cosby, TV performer. Placido Domingo, singer. Peter Drucker, never heard of him. Katharine Graham. I see every few years the Washington Post gets one for putting out left-wing swill. Dr. Henderson of the WHO. Nelson Mandela. Gordon Moore. Who else? Nancy Reagan. Oh, she got one back in the day. Fred Rogers of Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, which has feminized more boys than any single element in American history. Remember Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood? It turned our boys into sissies and crybabies. He got one. A.M. Rosenthal, the left-wing fanatic from the New York Times. Actually, he was a little conservative. He was an operative, but a sort of conservative. In 05, the Presidential Medal of Freedom went to Muhammad Ali, because his name is Muhammad and Ali. He was given a Medal of Freedom because he had a deep commitment to equal justice and peace, whatever that means. What did he have to do with justice and peace? Vinton Cerf and Robert Conquest, Aretha Franklin, Alan Greenspan, Andy Griffith, an entertainer. Paul Harvey got one way back. General Richard B. Myers, U.S. Air Force, retired. He deserved it. He served 600 combat hours in the Vietnam War. Commander-in-Chief of North American Aerospace Defense Command. He got the correct one. Then, again, Bush gave one to Jack Nicklaus, a golfer. Frank Robinson, a baseball player. So it's a mix. It's a mix of justifiable awards. But don't you think an award of this magnitude should be given to some of our greatest military heroes as well? Who do you think deserves such an award? 855-407-282. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
When I opened my show January 2nd, 2014, at the New Hours, in the New Hours, you're the producer for the day. We're working together all of December to open the new show. Say, Savage, you got a winning formula, don't change a thing. Say, Savage, you got to change something. Savage, you got to change everything. Savage, change your name, change the opening. We don't want to hear anything but politics. We want you to have Newt Gingrich and Rand Paul and Rubio on. We want you to do just like Wallbanger does. We want you to promote a television show, even if you don't have one. No, I'm just joking, but this is all sorts of ideas. But the thing is, I'm not going to do any of that. That's number one. I'm asking you, though, to be my producer. Try to be a producer. Throw out a good idea. I have a few ideas. You know why I did that? I decided if my audience is going to be three times larger or more, they said put three zeros on the end. That means 1,000 times larger, which it will be, right? So, okay, and now I'm going to say, Zionist on radio, Michael Savage, Zionist on radio, home of Borders Language Culture. Say, oh, so a guy's listening to that somewhere in America. He says, Borders Language Culture, so immediately they know where I'm coming from. Sets it up. borders, language, cultures. Okay, I can relate to that. That transcends race. That almost transcends politics. Anyone who's an American can relate to that, except the left-wing wackadoodles who hate the country. Right? So I figured that's who I am anyway. But I want to ask you what you think. I'm inventing. I'm creating. This is a performance. Radio is a performance. And yes, you know my politics. The politics are the core of my performance. Not an addendum to my politics. But that doesn't mean, okay, it's like the old thing, if you read psychology when you were young, if you went to college, you read something about set and frame. It was very early teachings in psychology. What is set and what is frame? In a situation or in a conversation, there's a set and a frame. So that's an interesting thing to say. In other words, you could put politics out front and do that day and night. Fine. Some do it. They do it well. I don't. I've always made it part, but not the entire package. Why? Because I'm more than politics. You can get that anywhere else. And that's why I don't have the famous guests on. Politicians won't come near the show, by and large. They're afraid of it. Big actors won't come near the show. They're afraid of it. They may agree with me. Many of them love me. They love my show, but they're afraid of identifying with somebody who's absolutely an authentic American in that regard. And by the way, I am an authentic American, period. End of story. I am an immigrant son.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
Served his state in the governor's mansion and guided our nation into a new century.
The Smooth Fox Terrier was developed in Great Britain to bolt the fox from his den. Excelling both as hunters of small game and as family pets, Fox Terriers are at home both in country and city. The Smooth features an easy care, weather-resistant coat, a classic outline, and a lively disposition.
This is the Savage Nation. I was watching our president, how he'd gone from President Truman, who initiated the Medal of Freedom Award, to a President Untrue Man in my time, and to see who got the Presidential Medal of Freedom, including only the second president ever impeached, is amazing. And then, of course, the Medal of Freedom to Gloria Steinem, who described killing her own unborn child as constructive, and Obama, of course, being the left-wing fanatic that he is, out to fundamentally transform America, has to do what he can. I mean, has to do what he can. A man has to do what he can. Man has to do what he can. And as you well know, the way revolutions occur is they pull down all the cultural icons and symbols of a nation and replace them. And so in this case, the Presidential Medal of Freedom was, let us say, not 100% comprised of left-wing radical social engineers, but about 80%. Bill Clinton, a recipient, Gloria Steinem, Oprah Winfrey, who just the other day said that only when enough people die in the South will there be no racism. It's pretty sad, isn't it? Chemist and environmental activist, scientist Mario Molina, who no one ever heard of, but apparently he's built his career on the fraudulent theory of global warming. Half these people, or let's say a third of them, were up there because of their sexual orientation. And the heroes who deserve the real Presidential Medal of Freedom are who? I have some names. Who do you think really deserves the Presidential Medal of Freedom? I, for example, recommend the Navy SEALs executed or killed in action in that helicopter incident that's been swept under the rug by President Obama and his minions. The award was established by President Harry Truman in 1945 to honor civilian service during World War II. Do you understand where we are now in this progressive path that began in earnest in 2008 with the exponentially growing entitlement spending and debt under this psychopath, a currency that is being destroyed as the world's reserve currency, a military being hollowed out until it can no longer function as the stabilizing force in the world, all under this man who disgraces the flag and the memory of this nation on a daily basis? Let's take some callers. Sabatino on WFTL in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Thank you for calling. What's on your mind?
Michael, as your producer, I think with all the new listeners you're going to have in your new time slot, I mean, I've been listening to you forever. I think you're going to so fascinate these people. And I'll tell you why. In my opinion, I listen to all these conservative talk show hosts. on and off all day. And I live in a condo. You might find this amusing. And I sit out on my porch, and I find myself yelling at the radio to shut up already. I know. We know this. You know, and I think...
Well, that's right. That's my emotion. I said, stop it. I feel like static in my ear.
Exactly. And you know, these people in my condo must think I'm crazy, but I mean...
Welcome to the club.
Yeah.
Yeah, welcome to the crazy radio club.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, but listen, it's a long day part, Sabatino, and people are going to do what they got to do, and they're going to do their politics. They're never going to change. I am highly political, but that's not all I do. So you're saying stick to what you do, which is all of it.
Well, yeah, and if I may, you know, when you come on, you have a totally unique perspective, not only with politics, but everything you say. And you have a great sense of humor, which is entertaining, and you're entertaining as well as informative.
Yeah, but even when I'm depressed, I can be entertaining because I have a gallows sense of humor and a sarcasm and cynicism that gets me through the darkest moments.
Yes. Yes.
And I think that touches a raw nerve with so many millions of people who feel the same way. They drift through the day. They see their country going to pieces. They see this creature in the White House who is destroying everything and getting away with it. And they don't know what to do, and they don't want to be despairing. They don't want to be depressed and get anguished. So they stop listening at a certain point. I think that's another element here of getting fed up with it. In other words, not that the other guys are wrong, but how much can you listen to them without freaking out?
Exactly, and I freak out, and your show's refreshing. That's why I think, you know, your new time slot is just going to fascinate people, you know, and how do you improve on that? You know,
you can't. That's it. That's as simple as that. Well, thank you. That's called a one-off. It's that simple. Or we used to say in New York when we didn't like someone, when God made him, he broke the mold. That was a sort of a two-edged put down and put up, you know. Chris on WABC, welcome to the program. Be my producer. What would you recommend?
Mike, obviously you can't change the show. The show is the reason why you're going to this primetime slot. The only suggestion I would have is that maybe in this first initial 2 weeks, if you read some of those short written stories that you have, obviously your antidotes come naturally. No one can touch you. But
Wait, you're saying read from Train Tracks, Boy in the River, Slum Dialect, Boy in the Basement, that kind of thing?
Yes. Those stories, the fact that you're reading, they're written, it separates you. You're an educated man, a written author, not like those people just spewing their venom. So by you reading those stories, one of those, sooner or later, you either crack a smile or you shed a tear. I mean, I got hooked on your show about 10 years ago when you did the When Pasta Was Spaghetti.
Oh, my God. I love that. We have it ready for another night. Yeah, that was a great. That's a great. We have that on sound with a little backdrop, but we had it cut up. You must be of the Italian faith. I mean, not faith.
Yeah,
you're of Italian descent, no doubt, right, Chris?
100%. Exactly. You know what? I was laughing, and I kid you not, almost tearing. I knew exactly what you were talking about. It's hysterical, and I think that.
What? When Pasta Was Spaghetti?
Yeah, as soon as I heard it, I hit the set button, and I've listened to it ever since. So,
That was written in an airplane in a storm over Cheyenne, Wyoming at 35,000 feet when everyone thought it was going to go down and people were screaming. In those days, I ordered another two little bottles of whiskey, and I started to write. And that's when I wrote When Pasta Was Spaghetti.
That's how you came up with the plane.
All right, Chris, thanks. That's beautiful. Hey, do we have time to fire off When Pasta Was Spaghetti before the break? Neil, can we get it up? You think we can do it? Let's grab it. We'll do it. We're playing Italian music because I have a treat for you. I found the poem When Pasta Was Spaghetti in my archives. It was written, let's see, Michael Savage, August 1985, written in a lightning storm at 40,000 feet over Cheyenne, Wyoming. When I thought the plane was going to crash, I wrote When Pasta Was Spaghetti. So here it is, whether you like it or not, all right? So you liberals get ready to sneer. And you sane people get ready to enjoy it because it's a wonderful poem. So play the music again. Go ahead. They got the mood. We got the mood set up. It's called When Pasta Was Spaghetti. And try to imagine it, all right? The hairy forearms of New York serve you your coffee with a turning gesture. An offering that says drink, eat, enjoy. the wiry Italian in Vincent's Clam Bar, the one behind the greased over register, the young kid connected who receives his deference from the spaghetti cook older than his gangster father, the spaghetti cook who looks like an old-fashioned doctor from the Bronx with clipped mustache. He actually pulls some noodles out of the pot and eats them as they cook, looking to the grimy ceiling for his tender answer. Well, they used to call it spaghetti. Now it's pasta at $10 a plate. The smoky windows of Romeo's Spaghetti now offers radios and knickknacks. It was 50 cents a plate then. In neon letters that you couldn't miss, even through a fogged over window on a cold winter's eve, there was life. Marinara sauce that smacked of the sea. Noodles as long as your young arm. Meatballs as fluffy as your dream of them. Bread on the table you'd eat against your parents' admonitions that the meal was coming, the meal was coming. And men, some burly with black hairy forearms whose smiles scared you, and little skinny guys with the look of murder on their faces, and people who slurped their spaghetti straight to their mouths from the plate, one motion like Chinese shoveling rice at mouth with clicking sticks. That was gusto before it became a beer ad. That was taste before it became a synonym for fashion. That was spaghetti before it became pasta. Play the music, basta. Let me give you the latest news headlines. Michelle goes to the rescue for Obama. She's now come to bat for him on Obamacare. Plans in D.C. cover abortion, not hearing aids. Colorado man signs up, his dog gets covered instead. No one signs in Oregon. Insurer stops advertising. Hackers can access private info on healthcare.gov. Perksy's way in health plans for lawmakers, no kidding. Clinton filmmaker spent 101 nights at White House. White House, Obama skips Gettysburg address because of, quote, whole website thing. Drops God from address. Donor fatigue. Price of tickets to California fundraiser slashed in half. Knockout game fears spread. That's blacks of packs of black kids running around beating up white people. I know you're not allowed to say it, but what the heck? What the heck? Maybe we can protect ourselves from what's coming by talking about what's happening. Drivers pulled over asked for DNA samples by federal contractors. Well, you get the picture. Yeah, what's this with U.S. troops in Afghanistan for years? They did a deal, Obama, anti-war Obama, strikes a deal where he's going to apologize to the warlord Karzai and agree to keep U.S. troops in Afghanistan for years. What are we doing in Afghanistan? Can anyone answer the question? No one knows. I don't know why we're there. I have no idea why we're in Afghanistan. The bravery of our men aside, why are we wasting their manhood on that hellhole? Can anyone explain it to me why we're there? He came to power saying he'd end the war. Now what, he's expanding the war. Duh. Let's take some callers. WDRC, Terry, welcome to the Savage Nation. You're my producer for the day. What would you recommend?
First of all, Michael, I'd like to say that you're one of my heroes. I have been listening to you for years. You are the only talk show host that says it the way it is. And I cannot tell you how much I look forward to listening to you.
Well, let me be fair. Others do as well. Some of them are very, very clear on what they believe. So let's be clear. And there's a lot of broadcast time. But I'm glad and appreciate that you hear my particular voice, you know. So are you looking forward to the new hours? Are you going to be able to listen to Drive Time in Connecticut?
Oh, yeah, honey.
I thank you very much, darling. Keep listening. 855-400-7282. Be my producer. What would you recommend for the new show, the new hours, the drive time? Pat on WFTL in Florida. Go ahead, please. You're on the Savage Nation.
If I were going to be your producer, I wouldn't change anything. You're a one-man variety show.
It's true. I got the hat. I got the trumpet. I got the tap dancing shoes. I got the cane. I got the dog. It does feel like that. It's like every night I got to come out and do a show. It's unbelievable. It's a one-man show. It really is. It's very hard, Pat.
Well, I can understand, but it's a one-man variety show for intelligent people, too. I might want
to. Yeah, well, that's the truth. I'm trying to be the Pied Piper of America. Let's put it that way. The Pied Piper of borders, language, and culture. Does that say it all?
That I don't see how you can offend anybody.
Well, I can't offend anybody who loves the country. And those I offend ought to move with Harvey Weinstein to the Ukraine. Thanks for the call. Let him go back to his roots. Let Harvey go back to his roots. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. So what do we want? I can shift gears. Today is depressing. See an award going to Gloria Steinem, Bill Clinton, Oprah Winfrey. I had to say something. I had to speak out. I mean, I expected him to further degenerate the meaning of this award, but I didn't think it would melt down this rapidly. I felt like coupling it with an article I read this morning on 12 fish you should never, ever eat. And why? I mean, I thought that if I read the names that were given the awards by Obama today and the 12 fish you should never, ever eat, like imported catfish. Number two is caviar. It's an interesting list, by the way. I hate catfish. I don't like caviar. I've been eating a Atlantic cod you're not supposed to eat because they're almost extinct from overfishing. The American eel. I wouldn't eat an eel if it was my last meal on Earth. How could they serve that in Japanese restaurants, an American eel? Full of PCBs. Shrimp, imported shrimp, don't eat it. I don't eat shrimp. Toxic. Imported shrimp actually holds the designation of being the dirtiest of the dirty dozen, as 90% of shrimp sold in the U.S. is imported. Imported farm shrimp comes with a whole bevy of contaminants, antibiotics, residues from chemicals used to clean pens, filth like mouse hair, rat hair, and pieces of insects. And he didn't even mention things like E. coli that have been detected in imported shrimp. Part of this has to do with the fact that less than 2% of all imported seafood, shrimp, crab, catfish, or others, gets inspected before it's sold. See, I don't eat that anymore. You know, I used to love the pescatore, pasta in Italian restaurants. I won't eat it anymore. I will not eat it. I try to get domestic seafood wherever I go. And I ask the guys, they don't find it offensive. I ask, is the shrimp from the Gulf of Mexico? And even that I won't eat. But for God's sakes, you've got to understand you're putting toxins in your body. And believe me, your liver and your kidneys know it. Your liver and your kidneys know it. Crab now, shark. Shark they're killing off. But sharks are very high in mercury, incidentally. But by killing off sharks, ocean ecosystems are collapsing. Why? See, when there's no sharks around, the fish that they eat, like rays and jellyfish, increase in numbers. And then the rays eat and deplete scallops and other fish. That's called ecology, boys and girls. You can laugh at it all you want and sneer out of your ignorance, but there is such a thing as called an ecosystem. Atlantic bluefin tuna you shouldn't eat. Why? Highest levels of mercury of any type of tuna because they're at the top of the food chain in the ocean or near the top. On top of it, because of everyone wants sushi. Everyone wants sushi. So the delicate liberals, I'll have mahi, I'll have ahi, I'll have rahi and pahi. Honey, you want some mahi or ahi or rahi? They think they're doing good for the environment, these creeps. Delicately eating sushi. They're knocking off a species. They all think they're doing good when they go to dinner. I love that. That self-righteousness over a dinner. They think they're not eating meat and potatoes, so they're better than you. I'll have some sushi. Would you like some ahi or mahi? Bluefin tuna now is almost near extinction levels. Critically endangered. Laugh at it if you want. Go ahead. Be a schmuck. Laugh at it. Be a moronic, idiotic, knee-jerk conservative. See if I care. Make yourself into a stereotype of a moron. And laugh at it. Laugh at the idea of overfishing and overharvesting and sit there like a putz and say, oh, don't worry, it'll come back. Blah, 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 puff, 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 it'll come back. Chilean sea bass, almost near extinction, high in mercury as well. So, you know, we're reaching a really strange point in the degradation not only of our culture by it. You see, this is interesting. There is a parallel, by the way, between what I just talked about. The degeneration of our culture under the leftist fanatics and the degradation of our ecosystems because of the overpopulation and the overharvesting has a similarity to it. There's something there. I don't know what it is yet. Sometimes I wonder if there is something. There is definitely not wonder. I know it as a biologist. There are too many people on the planet. You say, what? Savage said there are too many people on the planet? Yes, and we cannot sustain them. Again, you could be a putz and an ignoramus and say that's not true. You can listen to morons who don't know anything about ecosystems and ecology, nothing about science, and keep saying, why, the Earth can continue to support human beings. No, it can't. No, it can't. We are the most rapacious species on the planet. We eat everything in sight, devour everything, pollute everything. Just everything is for us. So what does this have to do with the Medal of Freedom Award? I don't know. 855-407-282. If you joined us late, we played some of the recipients of the Presidential Medal of Freedom with equivalencies from the Westminster Kennel Show. I think we should play clip four with Gloria Steinem and the winning Sharpie. I think that's a fun one.
Gloria Steinem, a trailblazing writer and feminist organizer, Gloria Steinem has been at the forefront of the fight for equality and social justice for more than four decades.
The Sharpei probably dates to the Han Dynasty, about 200 BC. The name literally is translated as sand skin or sandpaper-like coat.
Yeah, right. You get the picture. It was the Westminster Kennel Show run by the Master of Ceremonies, Obama.